jacket.
All right. Well, so let's begin. We left off yesterday. We left off yesterday with 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Rav Ma'itich Siv. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Al tiku b'mshichayu b'nviyayu al tareyu. Do not touch my anointed ones, and to my prophets do not harm them. Al tiku b'mshichayu. Do not go ahead and be pogea. Do not go ahead and literally touch or harm my anointed ones. Elu tinoko shel beis rabban. This refers 10 lines up from the bottom. Kofi utesim with days. This refers to school children. U'bin viyai al tareyu. And do not harm my prophets. Elu talmidei chachamim. This refers to Torah scholars. Amrei Shlakish mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. In ha'olam iskayim ela b'shvil hevel tinoko shel beis rabban. The world only exists literally because hevel pihen means the breath of the mouth. It means their Torah learning. That the world only exists because of the Torah learning, the simple and beautiful Torah learning of school children. So the Gemara says, Amali Rapapa la Abai, so this is interesting. Rapapa said to Abai, but 1 second, Didi vididach mai, hey, what about our Torah learning? Right? Doesn't our Torah learning sustain the world as well? So listen to this, Abai says, Amale, Eina doma hevel sheyesh bochet, lehevel shein bochet. You can't compare breath that has sin to breath that does not have sin. Or I will say, what does that mean? That the truth is, when we learn Torah, it's very difficult to say that we learn Torah lishma. The truth is, we learn Torah for all kinds of reasons. Some of us learn Torah because we want knowledge. Some of us learn Torah because we want covet. Some of us learn Torah because we want all kinds of things. But a lot of times, it's just for ulterior motives. Again, it doesn't look still good to learn Torah, but even if there are ulterior motives. But when children do something, children do it with simplicity. Children do it with honesty. So yes, it's the Torah of children that sustains the world. Listen to this. So say, listen to how profound this is. That we don't disrupt the Torah study of children, even to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that when Mashiach comes, I once said this over at a school, and it caused a big uproar. Right, that even when Mashiach comes, class is still in session. That even when Mashiach comes, so ultimately the children will continue to learn. So important is the Torah of children. This is my tradition I have from my fathers. And others say from your fathers. Any city that does not have school children sitting and learning Torah, machrimin osa, it will ultimately be destroyed. Ravina Amar, machrimin osa. Ravina said not destroyed, but rather machrimin. Machrimin literally means like annihilation. Have you ever seen machrimin and machrimin? Is that when it's machrimin, there are still ruins. When it's machrimin, there's literally nothing left. Amar Rava lo charvi Yerushalayim ele b'shil shepaskim imeno anshe amono. Rava said Yerushalayim was only destroyed because men of truth ceased to exist there. There were no more truthful people. Shneemar, over here he quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyah, Shotetu b'chutos Yerushalayim, literally fly around. It means go around the outskirts of Jerusalem, Uru'una, Udu'u, Ubikshu b'chavoseh, find out and request or seek in its streets. In Timtzu'u ish ose mishpat mevakesh emuna, will you find a person who does justice, requests truth, desires truth, the eslachla, and I will forgive Jerusalem. So the Navi seems to say that in Yerushalayim, there were no honest people left. So the Gemara says, really? Or minu? Excuse me, ini? Is that true? Bahamara Rav Katina, afilu b'shas kishlon shal Yerushalayim, lo paskim imeno anshe amono. It's interesting that Rav Katina says that even at the time that Yerushalayim was going to be destroyed, there were always honest people there. Meaning, so apparently honesty, there might have been a lot of other things that were wrong, but honesty was always present among the people of Yerushalayim. Shene Emar, because the pasuk says, quoting the pasuk from Yeshaya, ki yitpos ish ba'achiv beis aviv, when a man will grab hold of his brother from the house of his father, lemor, saying to him, simlo lecha, you have a simlo, lecha, katsin tihye lanu, you should be a leader for us. So what does that mean? Dvarim shebnei adam iskasin bohen kesimla yeshnon biyadecha. Things that people cover themselves with, like a simla, like an article of clothing, you have in your hand. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Iskasin bohen kesimla kishesholin osan tamei Torah halalu osan atzman kimaalimin asibrimin she'en yodon lahashiv. So, interestingly enough, what it's saying is things that people cloak themselves with, like a garment, is referring to Torah. the same way that Torah covers, or Torah encompasses your entire being. So Torah is often compared to an article of clothing that sits on your person. So what the Navi is saying over here is that a man will say to his brother, you have the requisite Torah knowledge, Simla, you have the garment, Katsinti Yalanu, be a leader for us. So what happens? V'amachshei lahazos tachas yodecha. What does that mean? Literally, machshei, the stumbling block you have in your hand. Take a look at Kuf. Dvarim she'ein b'nei adam omdin alein ele imki nechshalin bohen yeshnan tachas yadecha. And a man will say to his fellow, those very things that people only master, only once they stumble upon it, you have in your possession. What is that referring to? Once again, it's referring to Torah. That very often, the only way we become proficient in Torah is how? When we stumble. Right? That's true in matters of observance, that ultimately, over time, we all make mistakes, we all stumble, we all have setbacks. It's true in the realm of learning. Most of us, right, don't immediately acquire our knowledge. It's a process. So those things that people normally stumble over, one person is saying to his brother, you have all of this knowledge, be a leader over us. So the Gemara says, what happens? Katsinti alanu, yisa biyom hahuleimor, lo ehye chovesh. And the man will respond to his brother by saying, yisa, right? Yisa, we'll see, means a shvua. I swear to you by this day, I will not be a chovesh. Chovesh literally could mean a capturer, either a captor or a captive. We'll define it in just a moment. Ein yisa ela shvua, lashon shvua. Yisa is the wording of an oath, v'chinu omer. Lo sisa shem Hashem, lo ehye chovesh. What does it mean, I will not be a chovesh? Lo ehye mechoshvei atzman beveis hamedrash. I will not be among those who literally make themselves captive in a base medrash. Or others will say, what's happening over here is the following. The Navi is describing in the final days of Yerushalayim, there is a desperate search for leadership. So a man will say to his fellow, you have the simla, right? You have the garment of Torah. You've struggled with it. You've failed, but you've gotten back up. Be a leader for us. And the brother will respond, essentially, no. No. I will not go ahead. Lo yisa, I swear, I will not be michoshvei. I will not be among those who are captive in the Beis Medrash, which refers to the Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Because the pasuk says, ubebeisi ein lechem ve'ein simla. Because in my home there is no bread and there is no garment. She'ein biyadi. What does that refer to? That the person responds, I don't have in my hand lo mikra, velo mishnah, velo gemara. I don't possess Chumash, knowledge of Chumash, Mishnah, or Gemara. So we'll say, why is the Gemara quoting these psukim? Because beforehand, the Gemara wanted to suggest that the reason Yerushalayim was destroyed because there were no honest people. Rav Katina comes along and says, what are you talking about? There are honest people. What's the Raya? The Raya is that in the end days of Yerushalayim, so one person said to his brother, you should be a leader because you possess all these wonderful qualities, and the brother essentially responded, what? No, I don't. So that's incredible honesty, right? He was asked to be a leader, but he said, I don't possess the requisite qualities to be the leader. So you see, there was honesty in the final days of Yerushalayim, to which the Gemara says, Umimai, maybe this is not a good raya. Dilma shayni hasam di'i amrulu gamirna, amrulei emalan. Right? So the Gemara says, well, it's not such a raya. Because we'll say, if you're appointed to a position of Torah leadership, and then there's going to come a point in time where somebody's going to ask you a question. And you have to answer the question. If you don't have the answer to the question, it's going to become pretty clear that you're not the Torah leader. So what's the great chap in the person saying, I'm sorry, I don't have the qualifications? It's better to tell the truth now, otherwise you're going to be embarrassed later on. So that's not a riot that people were honest. That's just a riot that people didn't want to be embarrassed. To which the Gemara says, Havelei lemeimar, gamar b'shachav. No, you can always get out of that because you can always say, oh, I once learned it, but I don't remember it anymore. My lo yechovesh. So what does it mean? I bless you. What does it mean? I will not be among the captives in the Beis Medrash. Klal. What a person. No, so the Gemara is saying, no, that was an honest statement that a person was saying, I'm not among the Talmidei Chachamim. And because I'm not among the Talmidei Chachamim, I can't assume a position of leadership. So there was incredible honesty. To which the Gemara says, Lo Kashya. It's not a contradiction. Kan bedivrei Torah, kan bemasa umaton. You're right. There was honesty. There was honesty in terms of Torah leadership, that people who were not fit to be leaders did not assume the mantle of leadership. Where was their dishonesty? In the realm of business. When it came to business dealings, that's when the Gemara says before there was no honesty in Yerushalayim in its final days, it was referring to the business practices of the residents. Says the Mishnah, Matzilin sal moliki karos, afapi shiyesh bo meyasudos. Was a very interesting sukkah. So you could save a basket filled with loaves of bread, even though there's enough bread in there for 100 meals. So we said, what is the Mishnah saying over here? So Lemaisa, the Mishnah is saying like this. Up until now, we spoke about that you could go ahead and save 3 meals. Now there's an interesting question. Let's say, so I want to save bread, but in the container containing bread, there's 100 loaves of bread. There's 100, so meaning it's one act of lifting up the container of bread, but there's 100 loaves. So the Mishnah says you can do that. You could go ahead and save a basket that's filled with loaves of bread, even though there's much more bread in there than what you need for 100 for your 3 sudos of Shabbos. Similarly, the eagle shall dvela. You can save a cake of pressed figs, right? Even though what? There's many more figs than what you will need for Shabbos. Of the chavish shal yayin, you could save a barrel of wine, even though again, well, maybe a barrel should be about enough for a Shabbos, right? But assuming you're not going to finish the whole barrel, it's going to be a good Shabbos, right? Assuming you're not going to finish the whole barrel, so you could still save it. But omer lechai, echirin, furthermore, you could say to others, bo'u v'hitzilu lachem, come and save things for yourself. V'imhayu pikhin, and if the neighbors are smart, what will they do? Osin imo cheshvon achara Shabbos. If the neighbors are smart, what will they do? They'll go ahead and they'll come to the person whose house was burning down on Shabbos, and they'll make a little cheshbon with him after Shabbos. What does that mean? That you want to buy back your stuff? I have a good deal for you. I have a good deal for you. Le'echan matzilin osam. Where can you go ahead and take the items out from the home? Le'chatzah ha'me'urebes. You can take them into a chatzah that has an eruv. Chatzah that has an eruv. Then Beseirah and Beseirah says, Af l'she'ina mu'urebes. You can take it even into a chatz that doesn't have an Eruv. U'l'shem motzi kol klei tashmisho. And same thing, it's not just food that you could take out of the burning house, but you could take out utensils as well. V'lovesh ma she'yachol lilbosh. V'otev koma she'yachol la'atov. Now we'll say, up until now we spoke about food. What about clothing? So clothing, you can save whatever you can wear. Whatever you can wear, whatever you can put on your person, you can go ahead and wear out. Rabbi Yossi says, Yudches Kelim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the most you could wear out are 18 pieces of clothing. We'll discuss what those 18 pieces are. The Chozer Velobesh, now the Tanakhama says, and after you wear out one group of clothing, you could run back into the house, you could run into the Chatzar, take off that clothing and what? Run back into the house and get dressed again. Umotzi va'omer la'achim, you could say to others, Bo v'hitzilu imi, come and save my possessions along with me. So says the Gemara. Va'atana l'reisha gimel sudos l'sulo. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, I don't understand. In the last Mishnah, you told me that there's a cap on how much I can save. Now, both I remember, the logic over here is, we actually spoke about this team in Chimayim last night. The logic behind this is the following. That Lemaisa, there's no malacha involved in saving items on Shabbos. What's the concern? The concern is that if we just allow you to go in and save whatever you want in your frenzy to save your objects, to save your possessions, you may come to extinguish the fire. That's the concern. Therefore, Chazal felt they had to make a cap on what you can save on Shabbos. The Gemara said, beforehand we learned that the cap was mazon shalosh sudos, food for 3 meals. Now we're saying that you could even end up saving a lot more than food for 3 meals. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara said, Amar Rav Lokasha, kan beba lahatzil, kan beba lekapel. One is talking about a case where you're coming to go ahead and save it. One is talking about a case where you're coming to go ahead and bundle it. Look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Bala hatzil, shehitzil bisal echod, kediktani sol moliki koros, ve'en buto reach elala hatzilin mitochad leka bevas achos, matzil komasha bisal, dohachada zimnohu, maliporta malituva. So if you're coming to save a unit, says the Gemara, that's what Ramesh was talking about. So meaning, if all the, let's say you have 50 loaves of bread in one basket, it's one act of what? It's one act of removal. Essentially, what the Gemara is going to say is, when there's one act of removal, you could even remove multiple items, even more than what you need for shal seudos, in a one act of removal. When the Mishnah said before that you're limited to 3 seudos, that's when you're gathering food from. That's when you're gathering things. Kabbalah literally means bundling. That's when you're gathering from here, gathering from there. When you're gathering, you're limited to what you can gather for three seudos. If you're just taking one unit, you're allowed to take that one unit, even if it has much more in it. Look at the next Rashi. The kapel, sun harde. If you're coming to, literally means bundle, maybe better translation is gather. If you're coming to gather multiple baskets, ze in ze, litroach ula osvam, to go ahead and engage in tircha and to gather them, belachzor ula hotzi, mazon gimel seudos, hu diyokala hatzu besalon harde. Vesulo shekol echa torach ba'atmu. But when you're gathering, where there's much more tircha, the tircha is limited to what you need for the three seudos. So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Kaval, right? Ba'at lahatzil, if you're saving a unit, if you're saving an item, and within that, let's say, receptacle is multiple other items, matzvah's kulam, that's no problem because there's no extra tircha in saving extra items. It's one act of removal. However, ba'at kapel, but if you're gathering and bundling, then you're limited to what you can gather for three sudos. Rabbi Abba bar Zavda Amar Rav Idi. Excuse me. Rabbi Abba bar Zavda Amar Rav Idi v'Idi bebala kapel. No, both Mishnayos are talking about cases where you're gathering. Velo kasha kan la osa chotzer kan la chotzer acheres. And there's no kasha. One is dealing when you're able to remove the items to the chatzer of the home. And one is talking about where you're moving into another chatzer. If you're removing the objects into one chatzer, into the same chatzer, then halacha l'maaseh, you could take out even a lot more. As opposed to if you're moving into another chatzer, you're limited to gimel seudos. Boy, Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua. Now, we'll say, just l'maaseh, we pass in like that for like this first approach in the Gemara. That when you're removing an item or an object or one receptacle, even if that receptacle has has a lot of food in it, right? You can take it out even though it's more than mazon gimel seudos. Why? Because there's no tircha yisera. There's no additional exertion. But if you're gathering multiple food items, then you are capped at mazon gimel seudos.
Is this a chutzner they're talking about? The chutzner of that house?
Correct. Correct. That is correct.
Means a different chutzner.
That is correct.
Correct.
Boy, Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua. Perish talus taliso v'kipel, v'heniach v'kipel, v'heniach mai. Well, it's an interesting kasha. So Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua asked the following question. Let's say you spread out your talus. You spread out your cloak. And you put food items into it, and then you put more food items into it, and then you put more food items into it. My, what's the status? Kibala hotzil dami, or kibala kapel dami? Suppose it's a very interesting question. Now, what we've said before in the Gemara is the following: if you're doing one act of removal from the house, so you could even remove multiple food items because it's all under the umbrella of that one act of removal. There's no additional tircha. As opposed to if you're gathering multiple things to take them out, then halacha lemaisa, you're limited to mazon gimel seudos. What about the following case? I take my cloak, I spread it out, and I start loading everything onto the cloak. So I'm gathering from multiple places, yet when I carry it out, how am I going to carry it out? In one act of carrying. I'm going to sling that cloak over my shoulder, and it's going to be one act of carrying out. So what is that considered? Is that considered like lahatzil, one act, and therefore I could take out even a lot of stuff? Or is that considered like gathering, in which case I'm limited to mazon gimel seudos? Now the Gemara makes actually reference to the daf on Monday. From the fact that Rava literally made a mistake in front of Rav Shizvi, right, before Rav Chista, v'darash ani darshin ubilvad shelo yavi kli, Shumachzik Yosem Gimel Seudos. If you remember again, this was the case of the barrel of wine that broke. Right? So the Gemara stated before, Rav Chisda made the mistake of saying that if the barrel breaks, you could bring a kli, but the kli can't hold more than enough wine for Gimel Seudos. Shmamina, that was a mistake. Shmamina Kibala Hatzildam. Shavosa, again, the Gemara there explained, at the end of the day, the mistake was that as long as you're going ahead and bringing in, well, let's see, v'shaper dami amar leir nachem bar Yitzchak Rava, mai ta'usa, what was the mistake? Amar leir diktoni u'bilvad shelo yavi kli acher v'yiklot. Now, both say halacha l'maisa, the case by the barrel of wine, the end result of the Gemara was that you could bring one kli to collect the wine that's dripping out, and even if that kli holds much more wine that's necessary for gimel seudos, that's okay. What can't you do? You can't begin to bring a second kli to collect the wine. So what do we see from there? That halacha lemaisa, as much as long you could go ahead and take as much as you want out of the house, as long as what? As long as it's coming out of the house in one kli, together in one kli, in one act of exertion. The cap for Muslim Gimel Seudos will be in a case where you're bringing out multiple items individually. Kli Achar B'Yitzchak, I'm sorry, Viko Kli Achar B'Yitzchak. Correct. When you're bringing out individually.
Why do you bring it all together once?
Well, that's the Gemara's asking. If I'm piling everything onto the cloak and taking it at once, the Gemara wants to suggest now that would be like one act of removal. That would be like carrying out the basket with 100 loaves of bread and it would be fine. Kli Achar Hudalo. Kli Achar Hudalo. The only problem is when you start bringing additional kelim. So Rabbi said the same way the Gemara wants to suggest over there, that in the case of the wine, you could go ahead and collect the dripping wine, even in a utensil that holds much more than the wine necessary for Gimel Seudos. So too it would appear that halacha lemaisa, you could start piling stuff into one cloak, because the carrying out of one cloak is considered to be one act. The eagle shell d'leila. So Rabbi said, remember again, the Mishnah said that when the house is on fire, so you could tell other people, come and save some stuff for yourself. And if they're smart, they can go ahead and make a little business dealing with you after Shabbos. So the Gemara says, cheshbon mai avidite. Why do they have to make a cheshbon? They both said, this is interesting. What's interesting is the Mishnah almost sounds like that after Shabbos, they're going to have to go ahead and give you back your stuff. But they can make a little money off it also, a little cheshbon. Versus, why do they have to give you back your stuff? At the end of the day, Rabosai, if a person's house is burning down and it's Shabbos, they have a cap on what they can take out, then what? Then the truth is, everything else in the house essentially becomes hefker. It becomes ownerless. If it becomes ownerless, then halacha lemaisa, everyone else should be permitted to go ahead and keep it. Amar Rav Chisda, midas chasidus shanukan. So Rav Chisda said, no, we're talking about a midas chasidus. That although technically speaking you're right, it is hefker, and they should be able to keep it. Nevertheless, the people in the Mishnah are pious, and they understand that at the end of the day, it's really Reuven's possessions. They want to give it back to him. So Gemara says, if that's the case, Amar Rava, these are some interesting chasidim. Amar Rava, chaside igra de shabsa shakli. If they're such chasidim, then why are they making cheshbonos after Shabbos? Right? Meaning, if they're so pious that they want to give back the possessions of the person, so should they really make money off things that happened on Shabbos? Amar Rava, so Rava says no. Hacha b'yarei shemayim. We're not talking about chasidim over here. We're talking about people who fear heaven. So apparently, Rav Osai, on the scale of piety, so a chasid is the ultimate. A yarei shemayim is—he's a good guy, but he's not a chasid. He's not a chasid. So what do we? So what? So that's actually very interesting. So what's happening over here? This is quite fascinating. B'yarei shemayim. Velo nechalei dilishani me'achirin. So again, so the yarei shemayim does not want to benefit from the possessions of others. So I don't want to see, even though, again, technically speaking, Reuven's possessions were hefker because they were in the house that was burning down, I don't want to get benefit from Reuven's possessions. On the other hand, ubechinam nami lo nechali the litrach. On the other hand, I don't work for free. Right? On the other hand, when I save the stuff, you know what, the truth is, I want to be rewarded for my effort. V'hachi ka'amar, and this is what the Mishnah means to say, v'im hayu pikchin, if they're wise, diyodi ki agavna lav schar shabesu, remember, this case over here is not an issue. You're not allowed to receive wages for work you do on Shabbos. I say, how could they go ahead and receive wage? How could they receive money for saving the guy's property? The answer is because it's not Schar Shabbos. Why is it not Schar Shabbos? Because at the end of the day, Schar Shabbos really only refers to situations that were prearranged. This was not a prearranged situation. I never hired people to go out and remove stuff from my house on Shabbos. Therefore, I make the declaration, go, whoever wants to take anything, go take anything. They could come to me after Shabbos, and they could arrange some kind of fee for the fact that they saved my possessions. And that fee is not a problem of earning wages for work done on Shabbos, because earning wages for work done on Shabbos is only problematic, says the Gemara, if it was a prearranged arrangement. Okay? V'heichan matzil. Where can you go ahead and save the objects to? Right? Where can you take them to? So again, Rabbi Yosef, if you remember, the machlokes and the Mishnah. So first opinion said, the chatzar meureves. Tanakama said, to a chatzar that has an eruv. Ben Beseru said, even to a chatzar that's not meureves. So the Gemara says, Mashna hacha diktani lochem, umashna diktani imi. So interestingly enough, Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara focuses on something else. In the first case of the Mishnah, when talking... Yeah. In the first case, the Mishnah, we're talking about food. So the Bala Bayis says to the other people, Bo ve'tzilu lachem, come and save some things for yourself. And yet when it comes to the clothing, what does he say? Come and help me save my stuff. So why is it that by food he says, go save for you, and by clothing he says, come help and save for me? So the Gemara says, Amri, they say, Gabe mizonos, katani lachem, bishum loka chazu elamazangim azudos. Because when it comes to food, Rabbi Hussein, then what? There's a limit to how much I'm going to use on Shabbos. Right? So once I save my food for shalosh sudos, that's pretty much what I'm going to need. So anything else that you're going to save, you're saving for you. Avagavi levushim katani imi. When it comes to clothing, the wording is, come save with me. Why? Because at the end of the day, you could wear multiple items of clothing over the course of Shabbos. So whatever is saved is technically usable by the Bala Bayis. Rabbi Meir holds that the way you can save your clothing is you go into the house, you go ahead and put everything on, go out of the house, take everything off, go back in the house, put everything on, go out, take everything off, and save the clothing in this way. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're capped. Shmona Asar Kelim. You are capped at saving 18 utensils. I shouldn't say utensils. 18 articles of clothing. And these are the basic articles of clothing that people wear. Ve'ilum shmonas are kelim. These are the 13 kelim. Number one, mikutaran. Mikutaran. Mikutaran is a cloak. Unkali, an outer coat. Punda is an outer belt. Kalbus shalpishtan. Kalbus shalpishtan is a tightly fitting garment that doesn't have sleeves. That was made of flax. Kalbus shalpishtan. V'chaluk. Choluk is your garment, right? Apilios is a rope. Ma'afaros is a kerchief that you wear on your head. Ushne siparkin, two leg bands. Ushne mina'olim, two shoes. Ushne anpilios, and two sacks. Ubeis pargod, and two leg coverings. The chagar shebe masnov, and the belt you wear around your waist. The koba shebe rosho, and the hat you wear on your head. The sudar shebe tzavaro, and the scarf you wear around your neck. These are considered to be the basic 18 garments that a person wears day to day, and therefore the Gemara's according to Rabbi Yossi, this is what same way you're capped at how much food you could save, you're capped at how much clothing you could save as well. Says the Mishnah, Rav Shimon ben Nanas Omer, Parson or shel gedi agave sida teva umigdal. So Rav Shimon ben Nanas says you can go ahead and put the hide of a kid on top. Sida is a carriage. Teva is a trunk, Migdal is a closet. She'achaz bahenes ha'or, nefnei shumachrech, mecharech. So I will say, apparently, that these a skin is like a fire retardant, meaning it goes ahead and it keeps the flame from affecting the item under it. The skin itself gets singed, but it protects the item under it. So Rabbi Yossi says, if you see that your house is on fire, you can go ahead and you could spread this item over the objects to save the objects. It's very interesting. What you could also do is the following. Even though you can't extinguish the fire directly, what you can do is you can create a perimeter around the house that's filled with utensils. Whether these utensils are filled with water, whether they're empty, in order that the fire will not go past the perimeter. So you can't extinguish the fire directly, but essentially you're creating, let's say the easiest way to imagine this is, if you put earthenware vessels filled with water, the heat will ultimately cause the vessels to go ahead and crack, causing the water to come out, which will extinguish the fire. What we call grand kivui. It's causation, causing extinguishing of the fire without direct extinguishing. Rabbi Yossi Oser, Bikli Cheres Chadoshem, Mimalin Mayim. Rabbi Yossi answers this with new earthenware utensils that are filled with water. Why? Because they can't. Because they will definitely succumb to the fire. And they will go ahead and ultimately crack and extinguish the fire. So also, apparently, the most Rabbi Yossi holds you can do is you can set up a perimeter that would keep the fire, that would contain the fire. But you can't create even a grumma situation, a causative situation that is going to result in the fire being extinguished. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Talis sha'achaz bo ha'or mitzad echad, nosna le'amayim mitzad achad. So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav, that if you have a talus, you have a cloak, that fire caught on it on one side, you could wet the other side. The imkavsa kavsa. And if the fire goes out, the fire goes out. The Rezim Rabbah said, if the cloak caught fire, you can't extinguish it. Say, obviously, all these cases, it's not soon, you're not wearing it. Right? Meaning all these cases where there's no sakonas nefashos. Right? All the only thing that's in danger over here is a loss of money, a loss of possessions. So if the cloak catches on fire, you can't extinguish fire, but what can you do? You could wet the other side of the cloak, so that by the time the fire reaches the other side of the cloak, the fire will be extinguished. And if the fire extinguishes, the fire is extinguished, Meisve. So you must say, I'll ask a kasha. Talis sha'achas ba'as ha'ar mitzad echad. So if you have a talis that caught on fire on one side, poshta umiskaseba. You could literally open it up and you could wear it. Vim kafsa kafsa. And if it goes out, it goes out. And we'll say, what does that mean? If the cloak catches on fire, the idea is, let's say it's folded up. If you were to go ahead and open it up and wrap it around you, that act itself of just opening it up and exposing it to air could go ahead and what? Cause the fire to extinguish. That's okay. Dechin sefer Torah sha'achas ba'asa op sha'achas ba'or. So if you have a sefer Torah that caught on fire, poshto, you could open it up for korebo, vim kava kava. And if that is a result of the air, it goes out, that's fine. So the Gemara says, hu d'amar k'rab shemenanis. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so this brisa reflects the view of Shemenanis, because Rav reported by Shemenanis. Shemenanis says that if, let's say, you have a fire in your home, you're permitted to go ahead and put the skin of the kid on top of the objects in order to prevent the fire from spreading. Amar to Amar Shemenanis, Bemeshu Machrich Gram Kibui Mi Amar. So I'll say, interestingly enough, maybe Rav Shemenanis only allowed the situation in the Mishnah. What's happening in the situation in the Mishnah? I'm not extinguishing the fire at all. What am I doing? I'm preventing my object from being damaged by the fire. But who says that Benanis, Rav Shemenanis, allows Gram Kibui? Rav said Gram Kibui. Grama means causation. Kibui is extinguishing. So Gram Kibui refers to any case where you have an indirect extinguishing of the fire. So who says that Rav Shemenanis would allow for Gram Kibui? Sigmar says, in Midikani Seifa, Rabbi Yossi Oser, Bikli Cheres Chadosh Meleim Mayim, She'inim Yecholim Mekabel Asahor, Behim Mispakin U'mechaben Esad Leika, Mechlal de Tanakam Ashari. So we'll say yes, because look at the end of the Mishnah. From the fact that the end of the Mishnah says Rabbi Yossi holds that you can't create a perimeter with new earthenware utensils filled with water. Why? Because the heat will cause them to break and allow the water to come out and extinguish the fire. The fact that Rabbi Yossi says you can't do that indicates that what? That the Tanakama holds, you can do that. So the Tanakama clearly holds that halacha lemaisa, Gram Kibui is mutter, and there's no reason to assume that Rav Shemenanis would not agree with that. Tan Rabbanan, ner shal gave tavla. If you have a candle that's on top of a table, so what can you do? Minair es hatavla v'hino felas. You can shake the table, and even if you shake the table, and if the lamp falls off, you could shake the table, and the lamp will fall off. Vim kavsa kavsa, and if the lamp goes out, the lamp goes out. So we'll say, what would this be? This would be an indirect act of extinguishing. So the Gemara says, Amri de bei Rabbi Yanai, lo shanu ela b'shocheach. That's only true if you forgot the lamp on the table. Aval b'maniach, but if you intentionally placed the lamp on the table, we'll say, then this goes back to a sugya we saw before. Na'aseh basis ledavar ha'osir. Then ultimately the table itself becomes a base for a forbidden item. And remember, a base for a forbidden item, for a muktzah item, has the status of the muktzah item as well and will not be permitted to be moved. Tana, ner sha'achori hadeles. Similarly, if you have a candle on opposite the door, poseach v'noel kidarko, you can open and close the door in the normal fashion. Vim kavsa kavsa. And if the candle goes out, the candle goes out. So we'll say this would be talking about a candle opposite the door, that every time you open and close the door, what happens? There's a gust of wind. So the Gemara says, still, you could go ahead, you could go in and out in a normal fashion, and if it goes out, it goes out. Layit alo Rav. So Rav cursed this ruling. Amrali Ravina l'Ravacha b'rei d'Rava, v'amrali Ravacha b'rei d'Rava l'Ravashi. My time layit alo Rav. Why did Rav curse this ruling? Ilema mishum derav sovela k'rab Yehuda v'tanakama sovela k'rab Shimon. So we'll say, maybe this is a machlokes in the case of a darshin miskaven. So what happens? Going in and out of the door, if the fire, let's say I walk in, and as I walk in, the wind blows, and it blows out the fire. What is that? There is a malacha that happened, a kibui, but the darshan was kavin. I didn't have kavana for that. See, if you're telling me that that's the machlokas, and therefore Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that a darshan was kavin is usser. So if that's the case, the Tanakama Katani like Reb Shimon, and the Tanakama holds that it's mutter, holds like Reb Shimon, that a Darvashin Miskavin, an unintended malacha, is mutter. So the Gemara says, Mishum Darav Sava like Rabbi Yehuda, called the Tanakh Reb Shimon Milat Layit. So both say, it sounds a little bit strong, that because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama holds like Rabbi Shimon, so Rav is going to curse the rulings of anyone who holds differently than him, meaning this is a fundamental machlokes. Amar Leh, no, because the Gemara answers, Baha, in this case, Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. In this case, Rav holds that even Rabbi Shimon, who normally holds that a Dabra Shinim is Kam in his Mutter, would hold that in this case it should be Asr. Why? Daha Vai, Rabbi Dharmit Harvaihu, Moda Rabbi Shimon, Bipsik Rei Shavalo Yomos. And both, I remember, we've had this a number of times before, that even Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a Dabra Shinim is Kam in his Mutter, that an unintended Malacha is Mutter, agrees in a case of Psik Reisha. What's Psik Reisha? Psikresha is an unavoidable occurrence of a malacha. So in a case of an unavoidable occurrence of malacha, even Rabbi Shimon will agree that halacha lamaisi, you can't do it. Therefore the Gemara says, according to Rav, this idea of having the candle opposite the door is not a darvashin and miskavin, it's a psikresha. And therefore Rav cursed the ruling of anyone who was permissive about it. Amar Rav Yehuda, poseach adam delas kinegin medura b'shabbos. A person has a medura. Medura is like a torch, right? The person who has a torch or a fire that's lit opposite the doorway. Rabbi Yehuda said they could open the door. Layit ala Abaye. So Abaye cursed this ruling. So the Gemara says, "But my asking, what are we talking about? Ilema baruach metsuya, my time of demand the aser." So if we're talking about the Rabbi, that it's just a regular ruach metsuya. Now, regular ruach metsuya is a regular wind. Doesn't have the ability to blow out the medura. Right? So if that's the case, then why would it be usher to open and close the door? If we're talking at mamish like an abnormal wind, meaning like a storm wind, then my time aman dishari. Then why would it be permitted to keep the medura opposite the door or to open the door once the medura is there? Really, we're talking about a case of ruach metsuya. Mar savar gazvinan, mar savar lo gazvinan. So apparently the Abaye felt that we're concerned even to allow you to open and close the door in a case of Ruach Mitzuya. Why? Because if we allow you to do it in a case of Ruach Mitzuya, you may come to what? Do it in a case of a Ruach She'ena Mitzuya. Whereas the other opinion said that Halacha Maisa were not concerned about that. Fine. Osin Mechitza. Lememra, the Rabbanan Savri Gram Kivui Mutter. Rabbi Yossi Savar Gram Kivui Osir. So both I remember, the fundamental machlokis in the Gemara was concerning what? Was concerning the case of, can I set up a perimeter of earthenware utensils filled with water? Right, with the idea that when the fire reaches them, the fire is going to cause the earthenware utensil to break, the water is going to pour out and extinguish the fire. Tanakama said yes, Rabbi Yossi said no. So the Gemara says, this would appear to tell us that according to Rabban, the Gram Kivui, we'll call it causative extinguishing of the fire, is permitted. And Rabbi Yossi holds that it's aser. V'ha ipcha shalinanu, but yet we've actually heard their positions reversed. Disanya, osin mechitza bekelim rekanin, ubimelein shein darkan lehishtaber. So the Brisa says, you can go and make a perimeter around the house with utensils, that are empty, with utensils that are empty, or with utensils that are filled with water, as long as what? As long as they're not going to break. Ve'elu melein shein darkan lehishtaber, and these are the utensils that would not normally break, kli matachos. Right, metal utensils. Rabbi Yossi says, af kli kafar kfar shichin u kli kfar chananya. Rabbi Yossi holds that halacha lemaisa, even earthenware utensils from kfar shichin, these are places are from kfar chananya, ain darkon lishtaver. So also, what's interesting about this is the following: in this brisa, the Tanakam is machmir, and the Rabbanon hold that you can't use utensils that will break, and yet Rabbi Yossi seems to be more makil in that he's even allowing you to use additional utensils above me on the Tanakamo. V'chitema epoch mas nisin. Rabbi Yossi debraisa ledivreim kamar. So maybe you'll say you should switch the opinions in the Mishnah, and therefore Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa is talking according to the words of the Rabbanon. Umi matas epochos, like, could we really reverse the positions? V'hamra v'atachli mishmei derav. Man Tanagram Ki Boy Asr, Rabbi Yossi. But how could we really reverse the positions? After all, we have on record that Rav said that who is the opinion who holds that Gram Ki Boy is Asr? That's Rabbi Yossi. Ela li olam lo tefuch. Rather, you should not reverse the positions. Ubraisa kul Rabbi Yossi. And the entire Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi. V'chisuri mechzer v'hachi katani. And here's how you have to read the Braisa. Osin mechitza bekelim rekanin. You can make a mechitza, you can make a perimeter around the house that is on fire with utensils that are empty. Ubimelein she'in darkon l'hishtaber. Or with full utensils that are not normally, that would not normally break. The elu hein kelim she'in darkon l'hishtaber. And these are the utensils that when exposed to heat would not break. Klimatochos ukli kfar shichin ukli kfar chananya. Right? I'm sorry. Klimatachos. Right? Metal utensils. Ukli kfar shichin, and even earthworm utensils from kfar shichin. Ukli kfar chananya, nami ein darkon lishtaber. Also don't break. Shabbi Yossi omer, af kli kfar shichin, ukli kfar chananya, ein darkon lishtaber. Because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that halacha lemaisa, even the utensils of kfar shichin, ukfar chananya, will not break. Right? So we'll have to stop over here. I'm going to give you a little bit of homework, a little bit of homework today. We're going to pick up tomorrow. We're going to pick up tomorrow at the Mishnah. So do all the way to the Mishnah. Top of Kuf Chafal. We're not going to finish that. So I will say, just so you understand, that Halacha L'maisa, this fundamental machlokas, let me just end with you a piece of Halacha L'maisa. This fundamental machlokas of Gram Kivui is important machlokas. How do we pass in? We pass in that Gram Kivui is Mutter on Shabbos. Gram Kivui is Mutter on Shabbos. Therefore, we would hold it to Tanakama in the Mishnah, which this is in Simon Shin Lamed Dalet. Shin Lamed Dalet Dor HaKayim. Gram Kivui is Mutter on Shabbos. And therefore, Lemaisa, if my home were Tchas Shom catch on fire, again, I've said this is all. These are all very specific cases where there's no sakonis. Nefashos only have Sid Mamon. I would be permitted to set up the perimeter with earthenware utensils filled with water that will break when exposed to heat. So even though, again, I can't go ahead and extinguish the fire myself, I can create a causative circumstance situation where the fire will be extinguished. All right, we'll start with the Mishnah tomorrow.